Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 22 and Isaiah and Psalm chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. And then Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You can probably preach my sermon just from hearing me read those two verses. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord, that's revealed to us by your Son. Ask you, Lord, that you'll help us today to see what great thing you've done for us in the cleansing of our sin. Lord, we thank you and glorify you. Bless your word. In your name we pray. Amen. I'll start in Jeremiah, and then we'll move to Psalm here as we get going in the sermon. But you read the text there in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's been called to preach to a dying nation, a nation that's about to go into judgment. And he kind of resisted taking that position, but the Lord finally moved him on into it. And he begins to question them in chapter 2 about, what do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? And he asks some questions. He says, here's what you used to be, but now look at what you are now. And has God ever, what has God done to bring you to this place? What iniquity hath your fathers found in me? God asked them. He said, they didn't have to ask where the Lord was. I brought you into this country. I brought you into this place. But you've changed. You've changed your God that's alive for a God that's dead. A God that is no God, verse 11 says. It says, you've changed. You went from a God that's alive to a God that's no God at all. And he asks the question, what could you be thinking? Verse 12, he says, the prophet calls to the heavens, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So the prophet is amazed. How can they turn their back on God? How can they leave Him? And then when they get them into this position of difficulty, when they find themselves in a place, verse 19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy black backsliding shall reprove thee. They found themselves in a place where God was correcting them. God was reproving them. But instead of turning to God, look what they tried to do. They tried to clean up the mess themselves. They tried to clean it up themselves. You can't clean up the mess. You can't clean up the mess. I remember when we were young and mom and dad would be gone for whatever reason, we tried to clean up the mess before they got home. Try to clean up the mess. But you can't clean up the mess. We can't take care of it. They said you take nitre. And so this was some form of cleaner, probably some form of a base, a chemical base of some sort. The soap that they used was like lye soap. They would try to use these things. They had a that they knew how to clean a garment. And so he's saying, you try to wash with nitre, you try to wash with soap, but it doesn't do any good. You can't clean up the mess. Gary Sullivan on WYGE on Saturdays, he talks about cleaning the mold up, and he advertises a product called Wet and Forget. Now, he says you don't have to scrub it. You just spray it on there, and it cleans all that mold off. I kind of doubt it. I just don't know if Gary's right. He probably is, but I don't know. They were trying to wet and forget. They were trying to use some sort of means or scheme by which they could clean up the mess. It's always interesting when the little boys get to school, they're kindergartners. They've never been in a bathroom by themselves before in their life, okay? Mom, except the one at home. Everywhere in the world they've ever gone to the bathroom before, they had mom or dad with them. But when they get to school, they get to go in a bathroom all on their own. So the other day, that one thing that we have to teach them, and it takes a few years, is don't crawl under the floor. Don't crawl on the floor under the stall. Okay? It's a bathroom, guys. But they don't get it. They're 10 or 11 before it finally sinks in their head. I don't need to crawl on the floor. So the other day, I was telling a kindergartner, I was saying, okay, we don't crawl on the floor because the floor's dirty. And he looked at him and he said, well, clean it. Like it was my problem. I was supposed to let him crawl on the floor, and I was supposed to take care of it. But listen, it's still a bathroom. We clean it every day, but it's still dirty. You don't want to crawl on that floor. It's still a bathroom floor. As much as we try to clean it, as much as we try to get it right, we can't clean up the mess. I remember when Seth was little, we were on our way to Florida. And man, rest stop bathrooms. Okay, these are bathroom stories. Rest stop bathrooms. So I'm in there with him. He's probably three. Rebecca's went with Abigail. Chloe was little. She wasn't even one. And so I'm in there, and I'm saying, it's like he's arrived in Florida, and he just wants to explore everything. And so I'm like, don't touch that. Don't touch that. Don't touch that. And finally, we get into the stall, and I said, don't touch anything. It's dirty. It's dirty. You can't clean up the mess. I've ruined a lot of shirts at London Christian Academy with a green pen. I've got a few of those stains out, but sometimes you can't clean up the mess. I remember when I was privileged that Mom taught us boys how to do laundry. And so we went to youth camp one year, and I had a white cardigan. I had my knit tie. I was ready for camp. And right before church service, I got a nosebleed. How about that? On my white cardigan. So I had to go in the bathroom, and luckily, I had enough smarts from Mom that I was able to get that out. I cleaned up that mess. But there's mess of sin that we can't clean up. You can't clean it up. Society today wants to, the niter of today is your modernistic whitewashing of relativism. That it may be wrong for you, but it's not wrong for me. But that doesn't clean up the mess. That doesn't make it right. The society today tells us, you know, the church should not confront sin or speak about sin, and they're offended when we say what they're doing is sin. They're offended when we confront their immorality. They're offended when we confront their perversion. And they act like that we're the ones that are wrong. But no amount of relativistic whitewashing, whatever society says, They say, you're okay, it's who you are, it's who you are, you're being true to your authentic self. That doesn't take care of sin. That doesn't take care of the sin problem. You can try to whitewash it and say, well, this is who I was made to be. No, you were born that way because you were born in sin. And sin needs a remedy. And we can't just cover it up and we just can't just say, well, that's okay. No, sin is sin and you can't clean it up. You can't cover it up. You can't try to make it better because sin destroys. Sin stains. Modern society says live your own truth. What's wrong for you may not be wrong for me. Personal autonomy does not trump sin and the effects of it. It will not be a defense in the day of judgment. These people, they said, we're going to try to clean up this mess. We're going to try to make this mess better. We're going to try to see if we can do something to fix the problem. And that's what's happened in our society. 60, 70 years ago, sin was sin. But then all of a sudden, the modern philosophers of the day said, no, we don't need to tell people they're wrong. It'll make them feel bad. And it's wrong because they feel bad about it. But it's still sin. And you can try to feel good about it. And you can try to cover it up. You can try to make it look good. But it's still sin. It's still sin. In Sunday school, Brother Charlie hit some of these things, and Merle mentioned it. You know, years ago, there were a few things we might have debated about within the church, but now we're facing an onslaught, a defense of wrong, wicked living that we've never faced before, at least not in the United States of America. A defense of wickedness, a defense of vileness, a defense of sin, and no matter how they try to use their philosophy to justify their immorality and their sin, it doesn't fix the problem. You're still in your sins. You are still separated from God. You are still on your way to hell. They don't want to hear that. The world doesn't want to hear that. These people that Jeremiah was speaking to, they didn't want to hear it. They said, we can fix this problem. We can serve our gods. We can go our way. We can do our own thing. We can fix our problems. We can wash it up. We can clean it up. We can fix it. But you can't fix the problem. You can't fix that sin problem. They had chosen a weak method to deal with their sin. There's no effort that science can make to produce an agent to wash away my sins. There's no philosophy that this world can conjure up that can eliminate my sin. There's nothing. They tried to clean it up. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me. That's the problem right there. God doesn't forget. God doesn't forget. Your iniquity is marked before me. It is a mark of sin. There is a stain of sin. There is an indelible mark of sin that is recorded. It's recorded. Well, the sinner will stand before the great white throne judgment and all of his deeds will be read. It's recorded. It is marked. It is marked before God and it will be judged by him. And there's no amount of effort we can make to clean it up. We cannot change that record. We can't change it. Your iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. Now that's a dreaded thing to hear. It's a dreaded thing to hear that the God of the universe has my record. This world tries to look at sin, and our sin can't be undone. Our sin cannot be hidden. Our sin cannot be excused. The rich young ruler tried to use his good works to get past his sin. The woman at the well, she tried to use her religion to get past the fact of her sin. There's nothing we can do. It can't be undone. It can't be hidden. No self-determination that we set on ourselves to improve ourselves and to make ourselves better can take away our sin. Nothing we do. I can be a good person for a long time. I can treat everybody right. I can treat everybody good, but it doesn't take away my sin. There's no effort I can put forward. There's no bettering of myself. There's no fixing my lust problem. There's no fixing my anger problem. There's nothing that can be done about it in and of myself. I can't fix my anger problem. I can't fix my lust problem. I can't fix my covetousness. I can't. It's impossible. They say just change the environment. He's that way because of his environment. And yes, I understand that there are contributing factors, but the soul that sinneth, the Scripture says, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's a reality. You can change the environment. You can clean them up. You can get them away from influences. And you can try to get things right and straight. But it will not take care of the sin. It will not eliminate the pollution that sin brings. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it tells us the wages of sin is death. We have offended a holy God. And Scripture says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. So if you're trying to fix your problem by following the law, it's a helpless, futile effort. Sin stain is deep. It can't be removed. We suffer the pollution of sin. We have a sin nature within us that governs us and drives us to wrong. James says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, which is when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin is anything that's opposed to the holy character and will of God. Anything that's opposed to the holy character and will of God. It's an attitude. Jesus said, you look on that woman to lust after her. You've committed adultery already in your heart. It's an attitude, it's a thought, it's an act. Falling short of God's standard. Sin came into this world by the act of Eve and Adam in disobeying God's law. It was to them a personal sin, but to us it is a sin nature. We have our own personal sin, and we have a sin nature. We are polluted inside and out. Our sin pollutes us all the way through. We are lost and undone. We are sinners. We sin in so many ways. There are sins that are willful, premeditated, rebellious acts in the face of God that says, I don't want to do what God tells me to do. But there's also sins of ignorance when we don't know God's standard, yet we violate that. There are sins that we commit We do the things God tells us not to do. And Paul, he had this conversation with himself in Romans chapter 7. The good that I would, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I do. I see a law inside of myself that I just can't break out of. There's something that's got to be fixed. And he cried out in a way, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this death?" And he answers his questions, but thanks be to God. We can't fix it. Paul was the chiefest of apostles, yet he said, "I can't fix this sin problem that's in me. I can't fix it. I'm all the way gone. I'm all the way lost. I'm all the way polluted. I am criminally guilty. I am convicted. I am brought to trial and I am charged and I have laid upon me the obligation of my sin and the penalty of my sin. And I have no hope. I have no hope. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life." Do you like using a pressure washer? How many of you like using a pressure washer? Why do you like using a pressure washer? Because you can see the result. You can see the result. Olivia, my niece, Olivia Gilpin, they have a green machine. And she is willing to come clean anything you want cleaned. Because she loves running that machine. She said, "I like watching all that dirt come up in that handle." Because the handle has a see-through and you can see all that dirt. She's cleaned her car's carpet before. She's come over and cleaned the couch before when we got something on it. Because she likes to see the result of a good cleaning. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You students that have studied Shakespeare and Macbeth, you know, the bodies pile up pretty quick in any Shakespeare play. And Macbeth was guilty of lots of bodies. He was told that he could be the king, and that ambition got a hold of him. And he killed the king and a bunch of other people. And as the story goes, it begins to change him. And in the middle of it, he says, "What hands are these? Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hands?" Can an ocean of water wash this blood from my hand? He cried out, "No. This my hand. This blood on my hand will rather turn the multitudinous sea red." The ocean can't wash it away. Everything we touch is made vile by our sin. There's no good in us, but there is a remedy. There is a remedy. God's in the cleanup business. He's in the cleanup business. He is in the business of doing what's necessary. I've just given a full display of how helpless we are. And you know what? That's what repentance is. Repentance is when we realize all this niter and all this soap can't clean up the mess. Lord, I don't have any help but to turn to you. That's what repentance is. Repentance is finally when we come to ourselves and say, it's not doing any good. It's not getting me anywhere. No ocean of water can wash this stain of sin from my life. I can't do it on my own, and I turn to the only one who can. God's in the cleanup business. He found that woman. He said, I must needs go by Samaria. He had a lady he needed to clean up. He found himself going across the sea to Gennesaret. Why? Because there was a demoniac tormented by Satan on that hillside, and he said, I can clean that guy up. And oh, what a cleanup job he did. Nobody could have ever imagined how quick and how effective and how permanent a change one encounter with Jesus Christ could make. You and I, we scrub hard to get that grease off of our hands. We work hard to get those stains out of our clothes. We do all kinds of things, and we keep working at it, and we keep working at it, and we might produce a little bit of good every now and then, but one encounter with the blood of Jesus Christ, and every sin is washed away. Every sin is washed away. The thing that you and I could not accomplish is accomplished in a moment by the blood of Jesus. We look at Psalm chapter 51, and that's the story, of course. Most were aware that is David when he has been caught in his sin. He tried to cover it up, couldn't do it. He tried to smooth it over, couldn't do it. His sin caught him. And this psalm is his psalm of repentance. He came to that place where he said, I can't clean up the mess. I can't clean it up. I want you to notice in this psalm with me, we're going to look through several verses. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open it up there. I just spent a lot of time talking about how useless our efforts are to deal with sin. But in this psalm, I want you to notice with me how many times he doesn't try to say, here's what I'm going to do. Now, he says a few things. He says, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. I've sinned against you. I've done evil in your sight. I was shaped in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He admitted who he was. But he recognized the sin problem is only fixed on God's side. And the first thing he says in verse 1, have mercy on me, O God. That's all we can do. That is all we can do about our sin. Lord, have mercy on me. As long as we're trying to cover it up, as long as we're trying to whitewash it, you're not going to get saved. You're not going to get forgiveness. But when you say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, that's what that man on the cross said. He said, have mercy on me. He called out, just have mercy on me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He just made that one effort. He knew he didn't have any hope. He knew he didn't have any help. He knew he had nowhere else to turn, and he turned to put himself solely at the mercy of God. We don't try to justify ourselves. We don't try to clean ourselves up. We don't try to fix the problems. We come in full face, recognizing our sinfulness, and we say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then he starts asking God to do some things. Verse 2, wash me. We don't do that. He's asking God. In verse 2, cleanse me. We don't do that. God does that. In verse 7, purge me. And he asks again in verse 7, wash me. The sin problem is only taken care of when we take it to Jesus. David knew he had nothing. He didn't say, well, Lord, I did all this back and I helped secure the kingdom and I've gathered all these materials for the building of the temple. And Lord, since I did that murder and that adultery, I've done this and this right. And Lord, I hope that's good enough. No, he said, I need you to wash me. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to cleanse me. God has to do it. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. Verse 9, blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 12, restore unto me. I'm not going to fix it. I'm not going to get myself to the right spot where maybe God can help me. No, He's going to help me. It's the only help I have. Restore unto me. Verse 12, uphold me. Verse 14, deliver me. All of these things. They tried to wash it and clean it and fix it, but it can't be done. It's only done by God's grace. It's only accomplished by the blood of Jesus. David said, he said, another thing that he asked, I didn't read these, he said, cast me not away. He knew what the sin would result in. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He knew sin separates us from God. He recognized all that, and he knew his helplessness. And so all he could do was cry out for mercy. He said, wash me. He needed his personal sins forgiven. He said, blot them out. He needed that book, that record, that record of his wrongdoing. He needed that blotted out by the blood of Jesus. He needed that record gone and a new record put in the Lamb's book of life. A name written, justified. A name written, reconciled. He needed it blotted out. Cleanse me. That drive, that sin, that drive of sin within us. We cannot rid ourselves of it. Only the cleansing power of Jesus Christ can rid us of that inner drive to sin and give us victory over it. He said, purge me, that sin nature that I have. It's only the blood of Jesus that can purge that sin nature in my life. David recognized it could only be cleaned up by God. My personal sin, my natural born tendency to sin, my justification can only be given by God and completed by God. He said he asked to be delivered. He asked to be restored. He asked to be renewed. He asked to be created again. You know that work of being set free from our sin. Jesus said, I am anointed and I've come to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind. He's the one that's anointed to deliver us and set us free. He is the only one. In us, sin marred the image of God. When we sinned, when man sinned, the image of God on us was marred. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can restore that marred image in us. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can restore that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can renew us. Can renew us in fellowship with God. Can bring us into a place of reconciliation and being accepted by God. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the work of the cross. Only what Christ has done can create in us a clean heart, can make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away and all things become new. That is not done by my effort or human effort or planning or working. It's only done by the blood of Jesus. David knew he needed his sin taken away. He knew he needed his relationship restored with God. He knew what he needed accomplished. He said, uphold me with thy free spirit. It's only the Lord that can sanctify us and set us apart. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Only the Lord can bring us to that place where we are in right standing with Him. And then we were able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He said, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth thy praises. Only the blood of Jesus can wash us and bring us to serve Him and to be what He wants me to be. You know, Hebrews 12 talks about Esau. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He didn't find that place of repentance, but David did. David found that place of repentance. David found that place of deliverance. Brother Schooley and Brother Taylor,